The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5 K298CO Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Another search, more classified documents found at President Biden's home in Delaware. The FBI has turned up more material after a 13-hour search on Friday. The Bureau also took some of Mr. Biden's notes dating to his years as vice president. Two previously reported document discoveries have caused a political headache for Mr. Biden as he prepares to launch a reelection bid, apparently. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is on the lookout for a man who apparently killed 10 people and wounded 10 others at a mass shooting following a Lunar New Year celebration that attracted thousands last night. It happened at a dance club in Monterey Park. The shooter is male. We don't know much more, and he's still on the loose. Monterey Park is a suburb of about 60,000, mostly Asian people, just outside L.A. proper. This is SRN News.
Mike Gallagher sees a win in the House.
They have veto power on every bill. That has to do with the spending. Every decision that's made goes through the powerful Rules Committee, and now you got four absolute rock-solid conservatives on that committee. What is it about Republicans we can't take a win?
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekdays at 8 on AM 1280, The Patriot, intelligent radio.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Master Pool and Spa's New Year sale. Save up to 25 to 60% off new 23 inventory and up to 80% off remaining 2022s from Minnesota's largest spa dealer. Drive a little, save a lot. We have the largest selection at unbeatable prices. Free delivery and trade-ins welcome. Master Pool and Spa's New Year sale. Save up to 25 to 60% off new 23 inventory. Master Pool and Spa, 394 Louisiana, 952-253-0665. Master Pool and Spa's New Year sale. Save up to 25 to 60% off new 23 inventory and up to 80% off remaining 2022s from Minnesota's largest spa dealer. Drive a little, save a lot. We have the largest selection at unbeatable prices. Free delivery and trade-ins welcome. Master Pool and Spa's New Year sale. Save up to 25 to 60% off new 23 inventory. Master Pool and Spa, 394 Louisiana, 952-253-0665.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Immaculate Conception School is now accepting enrollment applications for fall 2023. Financial aid and scholarship funding still available. Schedule a tour today. Learn why Immaculate Conception School is your child's firm foundation. Search Immaculate Conception School.
Dr. Gorka here, and you know me. I am very cynical about products, especially those that claim to help people suffering from pain. So when I tell you that Relief Factor truly works, I want you to know that I mean it. I suffered from a stiff lower back for almost a decade, one so painful it made it difficult to kneel in church on Sundays. When I finally decided to give Relief Factor a try, I didn't ever imagine that I would find myself free of the pain. But that's what happened. happened. Now I take Relief Factor every day. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it worked for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. Feel the difference.
Soaking up the sun in Fiji, walking through the sculpture garden in Minneapolis, or standing in awe at the Grand Canyon. We're where you are. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Portions of this program may have been pre-recorded.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. Here now is your host, Al Malmberg.
Thanks, Doc. This morning we're going to spend the hour with author, photographer, journalist, and pilot Stephen Shapiro. Not only has Steve written articles for just about every aviation publication, he is also a crew member on Fifi, one of two B-29s flying today anywhere in the world. Stephen, welcome to the world of aviation.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on. I've been reading your articles for many years. One of my favorites is the Midwest Flyer. And my executive producer, Dave Wyman, for the show, which I call him, which cracks him up.
You know, he does a great job and has been doing it for a long time.
He certainly has. It was fascinating talking with you on the phone this week because I got a feeling you don't remember the first time that you were flying because you were so young flying with your parents.
Yeah, that's right. My father was a private pilot and owned aircraft before he was even married. And so the first time I flew, I was just a few months old.
As you aged, did you know right away this is what you wanted to do, was to fly?
I always knew I wanted to fly. Never really thought about it as something I wanted to do. It was just what I did. You know, so I spent most Saturdays as a child going with my dad. We go flying, and he wrote a column for nearly 40 years in New Jersey's largest newspaper, the Newark Star-Ledger. The column is called Wings Over Jersey. And so he would fly somewhere, interview somebody, write his story, and it appeared every Sunday for almost 40 years. It began in 1963, and he finished in 2001. And so I had the opportunity to go to the airport and tag along on all these interviews and learned a lot. Well, I didn't realize I was learning things, but it's a lot of fun. It's a great way to grow up.
You know, your dad and Sherm Bowen were pioneers. Your dad in print journalism and Sherm Bowen starting the world of aviation way back when. I wonder if they knew each other. Do you have any idea?
You know, I'm not sure. I'd have to look into that, but most likely they probably did.
Yeah, it's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the aviation community is relatively small, and you know, people's paths cross all the time, whether it's at shows like Oshkosh and Sun and Fun or just being in the business. You know, I feel like most people know each other or are only a friend or two away from knowing each other.
Isn't that the truth? Do you remember the first time your dad said, hey, Stephen, why don't you take the stick here?
Honestly, I don't. You know... Yeah, I'm sure I did a little bit, but yeah, I don't have a real vivid memory. I wasn't that kid that was always grabbing the controls. You know, I do remember flying in gliders when I was young, and that was fun. I started taking lessons. I think my first lesson was I was 14. My sister is a little bit older than me. Started taking flying lessons, and so I think my parents allowed me to take a lesson also, even though it was way before I was going to solo. So I got to take one lesson at the time. And then, you know, when I was 15, a little bit closer to the age of soloing at 16, then I started taking lessons in earnest.
Did your dad say if you're gonna take lessons, here's who I want you to learn from?
No, actually, I learned at Somerset Airport in New Jersey, a family-owned and operated airport, opened in 1946, and it's still in the family. Its third generation is now running it. It's nice. I grew up there, and I just flew with one of the instructors. Before I finished, that instructor ended up leaving and going to the airlines, which, as many pilots know, is not uncommon. And actually, at the time, the airport owner, the son of the original owner, was my last flight instructor. So Danny Walker was actually the one that finished me up for my license, which was kind of nice, like, to have that connection with the airport.
Now, your dad had this 1968 Piper Aero. Did you learn in that plane, or did you learn in another aircraft?
Now, Somerset used Cherokee 140s as their training aircraft, so I learned in their aircraft. And then once I got my license, I then transitioned into the Aero. So a little bit more complex with retractable gear. The Aero that we have is not considered high performance because it's only 180 horsepower, not 200. But it has the variable pitch prop and little things that were a little bit different, a little bit more advanced than the 140 that I was learning in.
How old were you when you soloed?
So I was 16 when I soloed and got my license when I was 17.
So you were right on time with everything.
Yeah.
Incredible. Were you at that point at the age of 17? Were you flying the Aero primarily?
Yeah. Once I got my license and got checked out in the Aero, that was basically the only plane that I flew.
Did your sister go on to get her private license?
No, she ended up going to college and hadn't finished up quite yet. And so she soloed, but unfortunately time wasn't a friend and she was off to college before she had finished.
Let's talk about your dad besides the flying as a columnist. Early on, I've got a feeling that when he started the column in New Jersey, perhaps he was the only columnist that was writing about aviation on a local level. Or am I wrong about that? I don't know how you'd even research that.
Yeah, I'm not sure at the time. We are quite certain that he had the longest running aviation column in a mainstream newspaper. Because it ran for nearly 40 years, like I mentioned. So there have been other aviation columnists who have had very long and good careers, but generally in aviation publications, not in mainstream publications.
Right. Yeah. For example, the World of Aviation, when Sherm Bowen started that, it was on a local TV station in the Twin Cities, and it aired for 28 years. It was the longest running locally produced TV show in the country. Your dad and Sherm Bowen sound like very similar kind of guys, type personalities.
Yeah, it sounds that way. And I know my dad's columns really were written for anyone, pilots and non-pilots alike. And and they were really the human interest stories, just the variety of people who fly and why they fly, the different aircraft, some notable aviators through history, things like that. So he wrote about everything, and it was really relatable. And even today, years later, people will come up and say, every Sunday I got the paper to read your dad's article.
Yeah, isn't that fun? And for you to be able to go back and read his articles, to me, that's just priceless information on your dad.
Yeah, it is really fun to go back and read the articles and think of the variety of people he knew and he met and wrote about and shared their stories and, just the impact they can kind of have. Particularly, writing about regular people. He used to do a Learning to Fly series, and it usually would be 3 weeks in a row, where he would just feature regular people getting their pilot's license, whether it was a New York City cop or a grandmother. My recollection was there was an 80-year-old grandmother who got her license that he wrote about, a priest.
Wow.
People from all walks of life that, had that same spirit of aviation, that same, brought to the sky. And so he just shared their stories, let everyone know that anyone can do this.
We're talking with Stephen Shapiro. We're going to take a break, and Stephen, when we come back, I want to talk about Alton Bay in New Hampshire, and something that was on your bucket list. And we'll discuss that when we come back. Our guest, Stephen Shapiro, and you're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Al Malmberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. Over the years, I've had a number of people tell me they would love to learn how to fly and get at least a private pilot's license, but they don't know how. Well, it's really easy to get started. Just get on Thunderbird Aviation's website and schedule a discovery flight for $99. You'll go up with an instructor, and you will take the controls of the plane and actually fly it. And if you decide to continue, that flight will go in your logbook as your first lesson. There's nothing like flying. Take the first step by going to ThunderbirdAviation.com. Earn as you learn when you enroll in the Apprentice Support Program at Academy College. There is an immediate need for aircraft maintenance technicians. Academy uses the proven approach of learning through on-the-job training, coupled with an educational element to prepare you to become a certified aviation mechanic in 30 months. Academy College offers support for those looking to hire an apprentice or to become an apprentice. The next open house is February 15th at 5. For more information, call Academy at 952-851-0066.
Is your job recession-proof? Now might be the perfect time to switch careers and become an IT professional with My Computer Career. IT is listed as one of the top recession-proof professions. You could have your dream job in just months, not years. No experience needed. Take classes online or on campus. And financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Over the next couple of decades, the aviation industry is going to need hundreds of thousands of new pilots. This is a tremendous opportunity if you've ever thought about being an airline pilot. Al Malmberg here for Academy College of Aviation. Through Academy College, you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business, IT, or aviation. Academy College offers career-specific courses that will help you advance in your chosen field. If you're looking at aviation, you can enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the FAA-approved Dispatch course. No matter what your current circumstances, you have the flexibility to attend courses in person or virtually to fit your schedule. Academy College offers small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere to ensure you graduate with the knowledge necessary to compete in your chosen field. Reach your dreams and live up to your full potential with a degree from Academy College. Start by emailing admissions at academycollege.edu. Next quarter begins April 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Our guest is Stephen Shapiro. And where we left off, I wanted to come back and talk about Alton Bay in New Hampshire. Why was this on your bucket list? What was so special about going to New Hampshire?
Well, Alton Bay is one of the most unique airports around. Basically, you get to land on Lake Winnipesaukee. So it's a temporary airport that is FAA certified, and basically they need about 12 inches or more of ice to open, and then they monitor conditions and let you know if the airport is open or not day to day. Sadly, they posted something on Facebook yesterday that they will not be opening this year because the lake has not frozen solid yet. And so at this point in the season, it's just not going to get cold enough to freeze solid to actually open, which happens from time to time every few years. They have a year where the conditions aren't suitable to open. But I wanted to do it because it was something I'd read about. It's different. It's challenging. You're landing on ice. with wheels, and so you have no brakes. So you have to be a little more precise with your approach, coming at the proper speed, you know, coming slow, and then you just roll out and turn off. And then taking off is also a little bit of a challenge because you don't have real control yet until you have some airspeed over the rudder for directional control. So you have to advance the throttle slowly. You don't have too much P factor pulling you to the left. So it's definitely interesting. There's a great FAA wing seminar that you can take that talks about flying in there and the procedures and some things to do. The folks that run it are really great. A gentleman named Paul Aroshell has been the manager for, this is his 13th year. Last year he was going to retire, and a gentleman named Jason Levitt took over as the manager, and Paul decided to stay on as his assistant, which is great. So they do regular updates on Facebook. You can go to their Alton Bay Facebook page, and that's basically how they communicate whether the airport's open or closed. There's also a phone number to call. But last year when I flew in, the airport was only open for a total of 2 weeks in January and February. Actually, I think it opened in early February. And then of the 2 weeks that it was open, there were only 8 days that it was actually usable and open to fly in.
Wow.
So it's definitely an interesting airport to operate, but really fun to fly in. And people came from all over. I flew from New Jersey up to New Hampshire. But there was another guy who had done that. People that were a little bit closer. There was one gentleman that flew from Florida in a, can't remember, 172 or 182, but he flew specifically from Florida to land in Alton Bay.
No kidding.
So it draws people from all over the country.
That's pretty amazing. Let's talk about flying the Aerowind, your 1968 Cherokee Aero. You've got the Hershey Bar wing. And I love, I was reading an article that you had written about this, and you said when you tap power, the Aero glides like an old typewriter. Never heard that expression before, and it cracked me up. Tell us what it's like going in to land on an ice runway in an Aero.
Well, before I went in, you know, they suggest that you practice your short field takeoff and landing techniques. So I did that. I flew to just a handful of airports locally just to get practice flying into different airports other than my home airport, just to get different sight lines, get a feel for flying the airplane that way, because it's not something I do that often. And then when I went up there, you know, I came in, my approach was good, you know, my speed was good, too high, which in an Aero, generally you can never be too high because she'll come down. And it was a little bit gusty, and so I was bouncing around pretty good coming in, and I considered doing a go-around because it wasn't a real stable approach. And, of course, you know, when it's a little bit windy, you want to carry more power and maybe a little bit more speed, which is exactly what you don't want to do coming into an ice runway, because you want to be nice and, you know, on the proper glide path and at very slow speed so you don't have too much energy when you're rolling out. Fortunately, I was able to get the airplane stabilized. I was able to get down no problem. Rolled out. When I was turning off the runway onto the taxiway, I did skid a little bit. So maybe I turned a little bit too soon, had a little bit too much forward momentum on the turn, but it wasn't too bad. Then the challenging part is taxiing. You want to have enough power that you're moving, but not so much that you can't stop, particularly when there are other airplanes on the taxiway in front of you.
You know, for those listening in Minnesota this morning, you know, you grow up driving in ice and snow, and you learn very quickly that when the car starts to slide, you turn the wheel into the slide with a nose gear that's doing your turning. Is it the same concept? The same concept or not?
You know, I didn't slide too much. All I really did was add a little bit of power to kind of pull it through the turn. Fortunately, it wasn't that big of a skid, so it not much was needed. But it's definitely an odd feeling, and I'm sure the folks in the Midwest probably land on lakes all the time. I think it's a lot more common out there than it is on the East Coast. So
generally on skis.
You know, and you know, so landing on a frozen lake, I don't think is uncommon for a lot of folks, but Alton Bay is the only certified ice runway in the lower 48.
In the article I read, there were a lot of photographs, and there were a lot of planes there that day. And you had mentioned they all park at one end of the runway, and it's runway 1 and 19, and they decided to go with just runway 1 because they didn't want somebody overshooting and going into the parked aircraft. So when you're coming in, are the aircraft parked? Do you go over those aircraft before you touch down, or describe to us, paint us a picture how that works?
Yeah, the parking ramp is at the end of the runway, just the left of it. So if you're coming in to land on runway 1, you're going to fly over the aircraft. It's off center of the runway, but you do go over it a little bit. And yeah, it's definitely neat. Also, you know, once you're there, you know, once you park the aircraft, other aircraft are flying in, so they're flying over your head, which is pretty neat, you know, because you don't always get that perspective of, you know, end of the runway watching planes land. And they were busy that day. There's a winter festival that happens every year, and the day that I was there happened to be the winter festival. I wasn't planning on going up for that. It just happened to be the day that I could get in. And fortunately, I did go up that day because the next day was the last day that the runway was open last year. Had I not made it in that day, I wouldn't have made it in last year. So, but it was a lot of fun. They have great volunteers. They're helping park the aircraft and get you pushed back, and, you know, marshaling the aircraft in and out and making sure everybody is staying safe. So they do a really good job. The New Hampshire Department of Aviation was out there helping with things, and they do just a real nice job.
On your short final, you've got some winds blowing, and you're being bounced all over the place, and I love this. You hear over the radio one of the volunteers say, "You gotta love a wild ride." did you go, "Yeah, right," or did you chuckle?
I wasn't real happy at the time. I was trying to stay focused on getting the airplane, you know, in a proper landing configuration, and you know. And it smoothed out right after he said that. But, yeah, I mean, when I got on the ground, I thought it was funny. But at the time, I just wanted to stay focused. I'm like, thanks.
You know, I don't think there's few things better than hanging out with a bunch of people that love to fly. But I got a feeling when you fly in to Alton Bay and you land on this ice runway, that there's a camaraderie there amongst people that, hey, you did it. And it's, you know, were people telling stories about how rough it was when they came in, like yours, you were bouncing around? Tell us about the experience of talking to other pilots that flew in that day.
You know, most of them were actually lucky, and they didn't bounce around like I did. So I just, you know, caught a gust of wind when I was coming in. But everybody else seemed like it was a pretty smooth approach. There was one gentleman there that had a Bonanza, and he'd flown in, I think this was his sixth time doing it. And he told some stories about, you know, being there in prior years and runway conditions. You know, sometimes later in the season, as the sun is out longer, it gets a little bit slushy sometimes. One of the things that they mentioned that was really interesting is that later in the season, the ice will start to crack, and the water will come through, and then it'll refreeze, and that can make the runway kind of interesting. But it was just fun just hearing, you know, where people came from and just seeing the variety of aircraft. I mean, when I was there, there was the Bonanza, a guy in a Globe Swift, a Luscombe that had come up from New Jersey, a Mall, I think, a Cessna 150. I mean, there was just a nice variety of aircraft that had come in. One of the stories that Paul told me was a guy who wanted to come in a glider one year. And so they figured out how to do it. So this guy came in and he landed in a glider. And I think he had a tow plane that came in and got him out.
How long is that runway, runway 1?
It varies. So it's ballpark. I can't remember now. I want to say 2,500 feet and give or take a few hundred feet in either direction, depending on the year. So,
I'm trying to figure that with the glider and the tow plane, how long the cable is.
I'm not real sure, but the nice thing is when you're taking off over the lake. So you do have to turn left a bit because there's some hills on the side there. But, you know, it's a pretty clear departure. So,
Stephen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, you had mentioned that the takeoffs were supposed to be tougher than the landings. And so I want to hear what your takeoff was like and if there were any difficulties when you took off. Stephen Shapiro is our guest, and you're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located at the crossroads of 35W and 494 in Bloomington, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly, two locations, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Al Malmberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. Over the years, I've had a number of people tell me they would love to learn how to fly and get at least a private pilot's license, but they don't know how. Well, it's really easy to get started. Just get on Thunderbird Aviation's website and schedule a discovery flight for $99. You'll go up with an instructor, and you will take the controls of the plane and actually fly it. And if you decide to continue, that flight will go in your logbook as your first lesson. There's nothing like flying. Take the first step by going to ThunderbirdAviation.com. Earn as you learn when you enroll in the Apprentice Support Program at Academy College. There is an immediate need for aircraft maintenance technicians. Academy uses the proven approach of learning through on-the-job training coupled with an educational element to prepare you to become a certified aviation mechanic in 30 months. Academy College offers support for those looking to hire an apprentice or to become an apprentice. The next open house is February 15th at 5. For more information, call Academy at 952-851-0066.
Sightseeing in Paris, at the mall in Bloomington, or on horseback in Dallas. We're where you are. Listen to AM 1280, The Patriot, at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
If it was 1990, you'd be listening to your favorite radio station on a bulky boombox that burns through D batteries faster than you can say, "You've got mail." Thankfully, it's the 21st century, and there are much better alternatives. For example, just ask Alexa to tune in.
Alexa, play the Patriot Minneapolis.
It's time to throw out that old beeper and get with the times. Listen to your favorite AM 1280 The Patriot hosts in high quality with Alexa and Amazon Echo.
Are you about to sign an order for siding, roofing, or windows, but you're worried that the price is too high? Keep them honest by contacting me at getmythreequotes.com, and I'll email competitive quotes your way. That's the number 3, getmythreequotes.com.
There are few things in life better than leaving the confines of old Mother Earth, putting the nose of your airplane on the center line, and going full throttle down the runway. You put a little back pressure on the stick, and the plane knows when to lift off. It's a feeling you can only get being a pilot. Al Malmberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. You can experience this by taking a $99 discovery flight at Thunderbird. You'll go up with a certified flight instructor, and you will actually take the controls of the plane and fly it. You'll feel the exhilaration, excitement, and gratification that you've heard me talk about so many times over the years. Thunderbird Aviation is where I learned to fly, and they are simply the best. They have a variety of aircraft you can rent, and you can always be assured that they've been maintained to the highest of standards. The first step, though, is to take a discovery flight. Visit their website at ThunderbirdAviation.com. Thunderbird Aviation, located at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. To learn more about the discovery flight, go to ThunderbirdAviation.com. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Stephen Shapiro is our guest, and here we are at Alton Bay in New Hampshire, and you're flying off a ice runway. Was taking off more difficult than the landing?
In a way, it was. You know, I was concerned just starting the airplane. Was she going to start, you know, advancing? Because even if you have your brakes set, it doesn't really do much. Fortunately, when I started, the airplane stayed right where she was, which was nice. once I let the engine warm up a little bit and went through all my checklists, I indicated to one of the volunteers that I was ready to taxi, and they marshaled me out. And so I just advanced the throttle a little bit, put a little left rudder in to start turning left, and she turned, which was good. One thing that they try to do it at the runway if they can is that if there's a little bit of snow or a little bit of you know, conditions on the ice, they leave it that way because it helps with the traction. So it's not like an ice rink where they get the Zamboni and make sure that the ice is really smooth. Right. They like it if it's a little bit rough. And so that helps give you a little bit of traction. And so I pulled up, and I was definitely conscious of on the takeoff roll, where normally, you know, on pavement, you've got your right rudder in there to keep you straight, and it's no problem, that, you know, I could put some right rudder in, but it probably wasn't going to do a whole lot to start. So in the webinar that I took, it talks about just advancing the power nice and slow. And then that way it kind of keeps the airplane tracking straight as you start picking up airspeed, and then get some rudder authority to keep the plane straight. So the airplane did, you know, wiggle a little bit as I was rolling down, but it was easier than I expected. But I was definitely very conscious of my control inputs as I was on the takeoff roll.
For tail draggers, you know, you've got the concern of a ground loop. How much more difficult does this ice runway present to tail draggers?
You know, that's a good question. There were a lot of tail draggers there. So I'm going to say probably not too difficult for them. You know, and part of it, I think, is that when you're flying a tail dragger, at least what I was taught is, one, you stay off the brakes as much as possible, whether you're landing on grass or on pavement. So landing on ice and, you know, not having the thought of braking probably helps a little bit. You know, a tail dragger comes in nice and slow. You know, you have to be a little bit more precise with your approach and speeds normally. So you probably have a little bit more skill and comfort coming in, you know, on a nice short field approach than you might in, you know, a Cherokee or a Bonanza or something like that. So I don't think it was too difficult for them, because there were probably more tail draggers than nose wheel aircraft that were there.
Hmm. Wow. That's interesting. Let's talk about Fifi, one of two flying B-29s in the world. You are a crew member on Fifi. How did that come about?
Somewhat by luck. I had interviewed a gentleman named David Oliver when he flew Fifi to Oshkosh in 2011. He was 29 at the time and had started his flying career as a kid doing Young Eagle flights. Hmm. And so I wrote a story at the time. I was working for EAA, and so this story about Young Eagle flies Fifi in, and he said, you know, you should come fly with us sometime. And so the next spring I was down at Sun and Fun, and Fifi was there. So I'd reached out to David ahead of time, and I was fortunate enough to fly on a flight. And on the flight that I was on, there was a woman named Dora Doherty Struthers, and she was one of two WASPs that had been trained by Paul Tibbetts as a pilot in command of a B-29. The other was a woman named Dee Dee Mormon. And the 29 was rushed into service and had engine problems. The engines would often overheat, catch fire. So a lot of the guys were a little bit nervous about flying the airplane. And so Paul Tibbetts trained these two women to fly the airplane, and one day had his crews out on the ramp and has the 29 come in and go through all kinds of maneuvers, and the plane lands and the hatch opens up, and he's 2 5-foot-nothing girls get out of the airplane, and all the guys basically said, well, shoot, if a girl can fly the airplane, I can fly the airplane. And Tibbetts had no more problems from the guys.
And that is one of the all-time great stories of all time. It truly is.
Yeah. Just knowing how people thought back then, and obviously there weren't that many women pilots back then, and the WASP, I mean, they flew everything. They were amazing. Yeah. And so Dora was on this flight that I was on, and so I interviewed her and did a story about her. And one of the squadron officers said, you know, we could use a journalist on the crew. What would you think about going on tour with us and writing. So, wow. You know, how do you say no to that? Yeah. And so I spent that summer flying around on tour. And the Air Power History Tour is really like a flying circus. You know, we have grown over the years. Typically, now we'll have the B-29, the B-24 Diamond Lil. We usually travel with a Stearman, a T-6. We have named her Nella, and she was actually at Sweetwater, Texas, where the WASP trained during World War II and trained WASP. So she actually has a war history. And then we often have a T-51 with us. A gunfighter often tours with us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have a T-34. Sometimes we have a Twin Beach or a C-45. Also, the CAF, the Commemorative Air Force, owns a twin commander that was Eisenhower's aircraft. It was the smallest Air Force One, and he used it to fly up to his home near Gettysburg. And so any of those aircraft could be with us on tour. And so I toured the country and learned a lot about how to crew the aircraft, the 29. And then the following year went to ground school and went through all the training and paces to become a scanner, which is one of the crew members in the back of the aircraft. And our job is basically to be the eyes for the pilots. They can't see the engines from where they sit. So we watch, monitor, make sure that the engines are running properly. There's no fuel leaking or oil leaking or no fires. Fortunately, the engines don't overheat like they used to. And then also make sure the gear is down, make sure the flaps are set properly, and then also help the passengers in the back of the aircraft while we're doing ride flights.
When you're talking about making sure the gear is down for landing, is that a visual inspection that you do?
Yes.
Versus a light, the lights coming on?
No, well, they have lights in the cockpit, but then the scanners, we have these big bubble windows on either side, and we visually look at the gear, and there's paint that marks certain things. So if you can see the yellow stripe and the red stripe in certain parts of the gear, you know the gear is down and locked.
How much fun is it to tour in a B-29 bomber? That's got to be just a lot of fun.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's really rewarding. You meet wonderful people, you know, the veterans that we've met over the years, to learn their stories and be able to help share that with the folks as we, you know, take history to the people. It's really a flying museum. And instead of having to go to a museum and see an aircraft just sitting there, you can come out and, you know, you can feel, you know, the ramp shake when the engines start. You can see the smoke when the engine starts or the oil. You can hear it, the rumble. And you get to experience just a little bit of what it was like back in World War II. And if you're fortunate to fly with us, we sell rides on all the different airplanes. You get that experience from the inside. And it's really like flying nothing else. It's really amazing. And I know all of the crew members feel very fortunate that, you know, we have the ability to do this. And I mean, never take it for granted. You know, as much as you do it, it's always special.
Over the years, I've flown in a couple of B-17s with World War II vets that were B-17 crew members or pilots. And the one thing that the common denominator, I would watch them on these flights, and you'd look at their eyes, and they were going back in time. And it would give me goosebumps when I would observe them on these flights. And I'm sure you've experienced the same thing.
Yeah, both on the flights, but even on the ground. The veterans, whether they were air crew, oftentimes it's a Rosie the Riveter comes out who built the airplanes. Yeah. Sometimes it's the wife of a crew member. They look at the airplane differently. And you can just tell the way they look at the airplane is very different than somebody else. And it's one of those intangibles that you have to, if you see it, you know it, but it's hard to explain otherwise. And, you know, the airplane will bring out the stories. You know, there was a gentleman who was a navigator during the Cold War, based in Okinawa, and they would fly at 500 feet over the ocean from Okinawa to Hanoi and somewhere else in Southeast Asia. And at the time, we weren't supposed to be in Southeast Asia, so they weren't wearing uniforms. He didn't know what the cargo was because it was loaded on the aircraft before they got there. He said he would take his wind calculations by looking at the white caps in the ocean. And so he's sharing all this with me. When he's done, his daughter says, "My dad just told you more in a half an hour than he's ever told me my whole life."
Wow. Wow.
And yeah, it wasn't me. It was the airplane. And just being out there and seeing it. And he was there with his granddaughter. And she was, you know, a young teenager, didn't want to come to the airport on Sunday morning, didn't want to get out of bed. She knew her grandfather had flown a big airplane, but didn't really know a lot about it. And then to her credit, she got it. As soon as she was there, she understood, like, the size of the airplane was a lot bigger than she thought. And just listening to his stories, like, she really got a great education and really understood much more about what her grandfather's service was. So it was really educational, and that's one of our missions, is to honor the veterans, the men and women who built, maintained, and flew the airplanes, but then educate the public about their sacrifices and what they've done, you know, provide the freedoms that we have today in our country, and then inspire that next generation, that granddaughter, to maybe go into a career in aviation as a pilot or mechanic or, you know, an airport manager, who knows, or just maybe be a private pilot.
Stephen, we are going to take a break. When we come back, speaking of World War II, I want to talk a little bit more about your dad, because he was a World War II veteran, and we will take a break. Stephen Shapiro is our guest, and you're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Earn as you learn when you enroll in the Apprentice Support Program at Academy College. There is an immediate need for aircraft maintenance technicians. Academy uses the proven approach of learning through on-the-job training, coupled with an educational element to prepare you to become a certified aviation mechanic in 30 months. Academy College offers support for those looking to hire an apprentice or to become an apprentice. The next open house is February 15th at 5. For more information, call Academy at 952-851-0066. Al Momberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. Over the years, I've had a number of people tell me they would love to learn how to fly and get at least a private pilot's license, but they don't know how. Well, it's really easy to get started. Just get on Thunderbird Aviation's website and schedule a discovery flight for $99. You'll go up with an instructor, and you will take the controls of the plane and actually fly it. And if you decide to continue, that flight will go in your logbook as your first lesson. There's nothing like flying. Take the first step by going to ThunderbirdAviation.com.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
Over the next couple of decades, the aviation industry is going to need hundreds of thousands of new pilots. This is a tremendous opportunity if you've ever thought about being an airline pilot. Al Momberg here for Academy College of Aviation. Through Academy College, you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business, IT, or aviation. Academy College offers career-specific courses that will help you advance in your chosen field. If you're looking at aviation, you can enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the FAA-approved Dispatch course. No matter what your current circumstances, you have the flexibility to attend courses in person or virtually to fit your schedule. Academy College offers small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere to ensure you graduate with the knowledge necessary to compete in your chosen field. Reach your dreams and live up to your full potential with a degree from Academy College. Start by emailing admissions at academycollege.edu. Next quarter begins April 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Our guest is Stephen Shapiro, and he is an author. He is a columnist, has written articles for just about every aviation publication magazine that's out there, including AOPA Pilot and the Midwest Flyer, one of my favorite aviation magazines. Let's talk about your dad for a little bit, if we could. He sure. was a veteran from World War II. What branch of the service did he serve?
He was in the Army.
And what type of job did he have in the Army?
So he was in something called a chemical mortar battalion. And, you know, like many veterans, he didn't talk too much about it. But he first deployed to North Africa and then to Italy. He was at Anzio. His unit was a replacement for one of the units from the initial invasion. And for those who aren't familiar with Anzio, it's a small port city southwest of Rome, and they did an amphibious landing, much like D-Day. And I think it was in part to see if they could be successful bringing troops ashore in the way that they did, a few months later on D-Day up in France. And from there, he went through the liberation of Rome, and then he actually flew into southern France in a glider. So that was his aviation experience in the war.
Did he talk about flying in during a wartime situation in a glider, which to me would be a hairy way to make an entrance?
Definitely a challenging way to go in. Earlier we were talking about his Wings Over Jersey columns, and he actually put a book together called Adventures in Flying, which is a collection of 100 or so articles that he wrote. And one of them is actually about flying in a glider into war. And apparently Walter Cronkite also went into battle in a glider. And his comment about that was, if you have to go into combat, you don't want to go by glider, walk, crawl, parachute, swim, float, anything, but don't go by glider. And for those who aren't familiar with the gliders of World War II, they were pretty clunky. They're not like the very maneuverable gliders that you see today. They were big. They were designed to hold a Jeep. So the mortar unit would basically be split up into three different gliders. There was a Jeep, then there was a glider that had the mortar itself, and then there was a glider that had the ammunition, the mortar shells. And then it had some of the soldiers in each of the gliders. And then once they would be towed by C-47s, DC-3s, and released and then land in their drop zone, and then they would have to find each other and, you know, put the Jeep and the mortar and the ammunition all together and, you know, move forward. And if anybody's seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, there's some scenes where the soldiers are walking by a landing zone, and there's some mangled gliders because they didn't fly well, and they were kind of tough to control, and a lot of the gliders did crash on landing. My dad was fortunate that he had a good pilot, I guess, and a good landing zone, and they were able to land safely. And so he didn't talk too much about it, but he did share a little bit of, you know, wasn't the.
Did he become a pilot after World War II, or had he started flying prior?
Yeah, he got his license in the early 50s. He had always loved aviation. As a kid, my grandfather took my dad and my uncle to an airport. There was a guy, I guess, barnstorming, giving rides, and I think my uncle convinced the pilot to do a 2-for-1 deal, take my brother and my dad and my uncle up together, and my grandfather went with him. And so that was his first flight in a, I think it was a New Standard biplane. So that was before the war. And then after the war, in the early 50s, he started flying lessons. I think he was flying in a PA-12 Super Cruiser.
Did he ever go up in a glider again? Just curious.
Yeah. He actually had a glider rating.
Excellent.
And so when I was young, I remember going flying with him a couple times in a glider.
But I got to ask you. Exactly.
And the wartime gliders.
Yeah, look, just a tad. Just a tad. For the Midwest Flyer, can you give us a tip as to articles that you might be formulating in the future here?
Anything scheduled with them just yet. I know in years past, I remember doing a story about ditching from a seminar that I attended at an AOPA conference, I think. That was really interesting. I learned a lot. But, yeah, it all depends. Basically if some story ideas pop up, I like to talk to Dave and some other folks to see where we can get them around to share our aviation.
Let me get this right. A story about when you had a ditch?
No. It was basically a seminar I went to talking about how you ditch properly and why that sometimes is a good option. And this was a number of years ago, and it wasn't too far past when U.S. Air went into the Hudson with Sully and Jeff Skiles, another Midwesterner from Wisconsin, was the co-pilot, and a good writer himself, actually. And he's checked out on Fifi and has toured with us as one of our pilots as well. So all kinds of connections, as we were talking about earlier.
Stephen, here's a question I never asked a guest, and I'll pose it to you. Why is it we like flying so much? What is it about it?
I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, I just find it very relaxing, very peaceful.
Yes.
To me, the world looks so much better from a couple thousand feet up. You can see the world and just the beauty of nature, the trees and the fields and the lakes and the ocean, depending on where you live. I live in New Jersey, so on a clear day, you can turn your head and see New York City and turn your head the other direction and see Philadelphia. Yeah. And so you get the sense of how close everything is on one level, but then also kind of how far things are on another level. So it's kind of that weird dichotomy of, things are close and far at the same time. And just, it's just fun. And then things like, it's great to be able to jump in a plane and fly down. I have family in the D.C. area, so that if I fly down there, it's an hour or so flight rather than a three-hour drive. Yeah. Things like that make traveling a little bit easier.
I'll tell you a very quick story. My wife is a white-knuckle flyer, doesn't enjoy it. And the first time I took her up, we had gotten up to cruise altitude, and it was just a beautiful day, not a bump in the sky. And I told her, I said, I find this so medicinal, so relaxing. And on the way home on the freeway, after we'd got done flying, she said, remember when you said how you find it so medicinal? She said, as you were saying that, I was thinking how terrifying it is.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And true. Stephen, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. What a fun time. And, I'm envious of you flying in Fifi on tour in the summertime. That just sounds like so much fun. Stephen, thank you so much. Hold on, we'll talk off air here. Hold on, don't go away. Sure. You've been listening to The World of Aviation. Stephen Shapiro is our guest. The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington, and by Thunderbird Aviation, with two locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
Salmon fishing in Alaska, at an amusement park in Green Bay, or taking a stroll through Loring Park. We're where you are. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
The Patriot is proud to air the Pledge of Allegiance every weekday morning. If you're a veteran, current service member, or a first responder, we would like to honor your service by having you recite the pledge. If you're interested, please call us today and we'll book a time for you to visit our studios. The number is 651-289-4410. That's 651-289-4410. Then join us for the pledge each weekday morning at 7:30.
Isn't it time you trade your old Salt Hog for a new Wet Technology water softener from Commerce? Commerce will give you $400 for your old softener and haul it away, too. Save salt, save water, and you're back. Go to Commerce.com. Commerce Water. That's Commerce.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.